Moving on to our bloggers roundtable, a black woman, a former congresswoman no less, gears up to fight for the Green Party nomination for president. We have a lot more on the roundtable, and we have with us freelance writer and blog consultant LaShawn Barber. Her own political blog is LaShawn Barber's Corner. Deborah Dickerson, author of the books An American Story and the End of Blackness, she blogs at motherjones.com, plus Wayne Hicks, who writes the blog Electronic Village. Welcome, folks.
Thanks for having us.
Welcome.
So, I'm going to start with you, LaShawn. How do you parse out New Hampshire?
Well, to tell the truth, I haven't been following the day-to-day political drama. I blog about other things these days, but I get the overall picture. Obama has sort of raced out in front of Hillary, although he didn't win in New Hampshire. Is that right?
Well, that's open to interpretation. Deborah, maybe that's a good way to kick it off. Do you think that Obama still holds the upper hand over Hillary, although Hillary won?
This is such tea leaf reading, but yeah, it was so shocking, his win in Iowa. Yes. So even though he numerically came in behind her, I think he is still sort of symbolically the come from behind kid. And I think that Senator Clinton is really, really scrambling. And I think politicians are always grateful for a win, but man, she must have thrown herself, off into the sky because if she'd lost these two in a row, she was so defeated. I mean, just emotionally and intellectually, I think that she might not have been able to pull herself together. And she made some terrible mistakes after Iowa, basically dogging Dr. King and saying, the white folks did it and the false hope thing. She was really reeling. And I'm surprised that her supporters stayed with her as strongly as they did.
Wayne. Which means maybe they weren't mistakes. I mean, her crying on TV might have been a calculated move. And, who knew that women were going to be so sympathetic? Women in New Hampshire, anyway, were going to be so sympathetic to her. I listened to a lot of the pundits talk about the New Hampshire primary in advance, and it sure did look like Barack Obama was going to be riding a wave that was going to have him with a double-digit win. And then you go and you have to watch that whole where he loses that and he lost. And I was born and raised in California. We have something called the Bradley effect out there. Tom Bradley was the popular black mayor that was running for governor. And all the polls said that Tom Bradley was going to beat his white opponent. And then you wake up the next morning and he lost. All those folks, they lied. The white voters that, would tell a pollster, yeah, he's a talented African-American, brother that's running for office. But when they got behind that curtain, something just didn't let them pull the button. I will tell you that for me, that's my worry as we move forward now. I just hope that people will truly give him a chance and will not fall for some of the okey-doke that I feel like Hillary Clinton pulled in New Hampshire.
All right, guys. You know what? We are going to go to a break, but we're going to come back with lots more from you and from the blogosphere. Coming up, we are talking again with Deborah Dickerson, LaShawn Barber, and Wayne Hicks. I'm Farai Chidea, and this is News and Notes. We continue our bloggers roundtable. With us, we've got freelance writer and blog consultant LaShawn Barber. Her political blog is LaShawn Barber's Corner. Deborah Dickerson, author of the books An American Story and the End of Blackness, she blogs at motherjones.com. And Wayne Hicks, known in the blogosphere as The Villager, he writes the blog Electronic Village. So welcome back, and I want to go straight to politics of a different color.
Today, I am announcing my campaign as a Green Party candidate for President of the United States. It is time for a new beginning for this wonderfully beautiful and amazingly diverse country of ours.
That's former Georgia Congresswoman Cynthia McKinney announcing her plans. And the former Democrat goes on to say the Green Party shares her views on ending the war in Iraq and protecting the environment. She served 5 terms in Congress before losing her seat in 2006, and she's now one of 7 candidates running for the Green Party's presidential nomination. So what do we make of this, Wayne?
A woman looking for a job. there's... two things, I guess, come to mind. One is there's a more interesting black woman that's running for the Green Party, in my view, and that's Elaine Brown, that had a historical position with the Black Panther Party back in the day. The other thing I make of it is I will forever blame the Green Party for us having George Bush over the last 7 years, because it's because of the Green Party's third-party candidacy with Ralph Nader back in 2000 that, in effect, Bush got the Supreme Court, you know, majority that he needed in order to win the election and be in office. So
you can still start a bar fight over that whole debate. but you, yeah. You do bring up Elaine Brown. It's fascinating. You have Elaine Brown, formerly of the Black Panther Party, running. You have hip-hop scholar Jared Ball. So you've got, with McKinney, three out of the seven who are African-American. Now, the Green Party has had this reputation as a political home for white, college-educated tree huggers. Does this shake up that stereotype, Deborah?
If it gets noticed, I think it's not so much a woman in search of a job as a woman in search of relevance. And you hate to go out on a limb here, but I would eat my hat if the average black person pays very much attention to, I think as soon as they hear Green Party, they tune out. They think, you know, limousine liberals hugging trees. And I'm not even sure they'll listen long enough to hear Cynthia McKinney. And I think that those people outside of her home district, if they think of her at all, will associate her with scandal and incompetence. So I think we may be looking at the last gasp of it's. I'm sort of embarrassed for her.
LaShawn, you're coming from the more conservative side of the political spectrum. There are millions and millions of people who don't vote, and there was this huge debate, firefight that went on after Ralph Nader's candidacy. You know, was he a spoiler? Was he someone who needed to be in the race? Is there enough diversity in America's political spectrum? I'm not talking about specific candidates, but are the Republican and Democratic parties big enough to contain the ideological range of Americans?
I don't think so. First, I'd like to agree with Deborah. I do think that McKinney is in search of relevance. She wants to stay in the news. And if she were writing a book or something, I think running on the green ticket would be a good move. And I also agree with Deborah that, you know, this is not going to really get any traction. And it's really a waste of her time and money because, you know, even if she does get the nomination, obviously not going to win the presidency. So, you know, I don't know, maybe she's gearing up for an autobiography or something, or just desperately trying to stay in the news. But to answer your second question, I don't think there is enough ideological diversity in either party to encompass the range of opinions out there. One thing I don't like about either party is this going after the black vote thing. I became a conservative. I'm not a member of either party, by the way, but I came to conservatism because of the ideals that the Republican Party espoused that I found myself agreeing with more and more. If they would stick to the issues and go after people based on those things instead of trying to play these race and sex games and trying to divide people that way, I think that would be a better way to gather more people, so to speak, to sort of represent a broader range of views.
Wayne, I want to actually move us on to another topic. In November, we talked about the Enough is Enough campaign here on News and Notes. A group of protesters has been picketing nearly every weekend outside the home of Deborah Lee, the CEO of Black Entertainment Television, or BET, and they feel the network shows, quote, demeaning and offensive portrayals of African Americans and women. Now the group's asking people to protest the BET Honor Awards this Saturday in Los Angeles. Your blog, Electronic Village, is helping to publicize the protest. Why do you think it's important?
Well, you have to do something to protest what is demeaning characterizations, what is just the visuals that come from Black Entertainment Television, the programming that they put on there. It's just very, very, it's very bad for our children. It's very bad for the adults. It's very bad for our community. And so the idea of protesting either the Viacom, the CEO of Viacom, by being in front of his house on Saturdays, or Deborah Lee, the president of BET, by being in front of her house, those were good things. The idea of kind of following along the lead of what's happening with the writers that are on strike in Hollywood and are managing to bring down the Screen Actor Guild's award show, where there likely won't be a red carpet, where they'll just be reading off the nominations. Maybe that same fire can take place with this BET Awards, where the actors, the black actors that are being honored, will honor the quote unquote picket line and begin to realize that question who's giving them the award, and is it worth really accepting when the types of messages coming out of BET are so destructive to our community?
I was a guest on a BET special, and I will tell you quite honestly that there were a lot of younger people in the audience. I'm 38. These are people who were probably in their early 20s who don't care necessarily what I have to think, since I'm over a certain age, won't care about these protests. Who are these protests for? Are they for the CEOs? Are they for the young people? Who are you really trying to reach with this?
Ultimately, you're trying to reach the sponsors of BET, the folks that are actually paying the bills and getting them to make a different decision. It worked effectively, you know, earlier this year with the quote-unquote Hot Ghetto Mess show, and ultimately that's what Pastor Coates and the Enough Enough campaign is trying to do, is to say, you know, stop spending money on this type of nonsense to come into our community.
Yeah, I agree with Wayne. I wanted to piggyback on that. I think what Reverend Coates is doing is wonderful. And, you know, we do have freedom in this country to watch trash if we want to. But
fill
we
us
also
in on Reverend Coates, since you've referenced him.
He is heading the Enough is Enough campaign. I just found out about it because of this segment, actually. In the email, I got a link to his site, and I read some of the goals, what they want to do. In addition to a protest in New York this Saturday, they're also going to be at the Warner Theater in Washington, D.C. to protest the BET Honors Awards. And I plan on going out there and just showing my support. And I think if you could sort of reach advertisers, let them know what's going on, reach people who are buying these products from these corporations and let them know what's going on, they can make the decision to boycott, to not buy the products. But I think it's a very good thing that and I'm definitely going to get behind it, at least on my blog. I'm going to link and keep my readers aware of what's going on.
Deborah, if you reach the sponsors but you don't reach the young minds, does that make a difference?
Well, I can't concede that if it's not possible to reach the young minds, we don't do it. I think the protest is important even if it doesn't reach the young people. We have to hope that it will. I'll never get over how proud I was of the women of Spelman when they stood up about Nelly and his video. Who would have ever thought that would happen? So I think the protest is about self-respect, and it's about loving this community. And we have to, it was like protesting outside the South African embassies. Whoever would have thought that it would have the effect that it did? So I think it's something that we have to do for our self-respect and our self-love as a community. Even if nothing ever changes, we have to believe that we can reach the hearts and minds of our young people. We did it at Spelman, and then the brothers at Morehouse backed him up. So it's about taking a stand about moral values in this community, whatever the outcome.
Yes.
Wayne, what about the whole intergenerational issue? Every generation pretty much has said you just don't understand to the generation or generations above it. What can you do to bring about more dialogue over what's appropriate, what's tasteful, what's uplifting, all these questions? Is there a way to actually start that dialogue?
Well, I mean, things like this conversation, our blogs, the conversations we have with our own children, with their own nieces, nephews, et cetera, all those are ways to begin that type of conversation. There are some things that are beyond the line. And I guess what I'm suggesting, I think what Pastor Coates and the folks that are in the Enough is Enough campaign are suggesting, is that there is some programming on BET that is beyond the line. Whether you are 7 years old, 17 years old, 37 years old, 47 years old, it's just beyond the pale. It's unimaginable that kind of garbage is getting into our homes, and I think that conversation, that finding that common ground with young people, can be done if we make the effort.
All right. You know, I just want to add something. What I don't understand about BET is they show these nasty videos all night, and then like 4 a.m. on Sunday morning, they start showing the religious shows. You know, is this the same demographic or what?
That's the exact moment at which your life is saved. And on that, we're gonna have to leave it there. Thanks, guys. We've been talking with Wayne Hicks, otherwise known as The Villager. He writes the blog Electronic Village. He was at member station WGUC in Cincinnati, Ohio. Deborah Dickerson, author of the books An American Story and the End of Blackness. She blogs at motherjones.com. She was at member station WAMC in Albany, New York. And freelance writer and blog consultant LaShawn Barber. Her political blog is LaShawn Barber's Corner. She was at NPR headquarters in Washington, D.C. You can find links to their blogs and ours at nprnewsandnotes.org. And join us. Join the conversation. Our online series Speak Your Mind gives you a chance to post exactly what you want to say on our blog, News and Views, nprnewsandviews.org.